Oh, Lord, I just thank you for this morning, for the privilege, Lord, of being in your holy presence. God, I am in awe of your goodness. And Lord, I just pray that we would not come here to have an experience, Lord, an emotional moment. But Lord, I pray today that every one of us would be moved by your Spirit. I pray that truly our hearts would be open to receiving your word, God, to receiving your Spirit this morning that changes us, God. That moves us into the image of Christ. Lord, I pray over us today, and I thank you that for your anointing in this place today. I know that your presence is here, Lord. I know that this is holy ground, God. And Lord, we do not take it lightly. But we honor you and we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, what a privilege and an honor. You know, I just want to confirm that word that John had this morning when I came to unlock for them. The anointing is here, man. I had the privilege of making coffee for them this morning. And while I was making the coffee, I just had this incredible sense of gratitude in my heart. God just made me feel like, not he made me feel, I just had the sense of like, thank you for allowing me to do this today. Thank you for being right here in this place to make this coffee for these people that are coming to worship you. And I had this incredible sense of awe of God's goodness. And I just want to just confirm that word. This morning, I have a recipe for you guys. I'm Greek, I like to cook. And as part of that, I like recipes. So I have a really good recipe for you guys to share. But I'd like to share first the scripture from Matthew 11:28. I don't know if I've put that scripture in, but I'm going to read it for you, but if you've got your Bibles, I've got it. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow there. Matthew 11:28-30 says, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I really sought the Lord for this word, and I really believe that it's a word for us for now, because I think there's a lot of us that are experiencing oppression, are experiencing burdens of life, and not knowing if we're coming or going, but I really believe that this is from God to encourage us. And in most cases in the Bible, it is mentioned many times, yoke is to do with oppression. And I don't know if any of you know what a yoke is. Does anyone know what a yoke is? Okay, a handful of you. Inside an egg, no. Okay, a yoke that this is referring to is when animals are yoked to carry a burden. I've actually got an example, if you can put it up. Betty and Bob have got a yoke on them. Now, that yoke is not just, many have the misconception of a yoke is just to bind them to each other, but it's not. It's actually to bind them to the burden. The yoke is actually, that's a little example of, I think, more of a medieval style yoke, but it's to bind them to that burden that they're going to carry, that they're going to pull. Okay, and that's the yoke that is being discussed here in the Bible. Okay, so with that in mind, will you turn with me to Isaiah 10:27? I've also got that up. And I've used the King James Version. Because if you read this in many versions, as I did, it uses really various terms, like I'll explain it to you, but let's read it first. Isaiah 10:27, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. Okay, so as I said, if you read it in any other versions, if you've got the NLT, it doesn't, in various places it says fat, meaning the oil, the anointing oil. So there's different, but in the, I think the King James says it the best, so the anointing. So it says, what does it say? The anointing, okay, breaks the yoke, is that what it said? Does everyone think it said that? Because that's what I've thought for many years. I've prayed this prayer so many times. The anointing breaks the yoke. But look at what it says. It says the anointing destroys the yoke. When you break something, it can be put back together. Okay? I've got a soap dish that just broke the other morning. It can easily be put together if my husband would just find super glue. No, point is, it says destroy, because destroy means it never comes back together again. It's obliterated. So, and again, where he talks about the yokes here, he's talking about the oppression in our lives. He's talking about depression. He's talking about confusion. He's talking about bondage that comes around us. Like, the enemy makes us so busy. He makes us so addicted. So that's what he's talking about here. So if you've ever wondered what the word anointing means, has anyone wondered what that word means? Because I must be honest, I've heard it a few thousand times, and I've even wondered. I'm like, but Lord, what is anointing? And the word literally means to pour on, to smear, or to cover. Okay, that's what the literal meaning is. It's to pour on. If I could find my place in my notes, I could actually read it to you. And to rub into. Okay, so that is what anointing is. Anointing is to pour on, to rub into. Okay, and that is exactly what it is. It's God being poured onto us, rubbed onto us, smeared on us. It's God on flesh doing what only God can do. Do you get that? That's what anointing is, this anointing. We're going to discuss this today. We're going to discuss what it is and how to get it. Does anybody be interested in that? I'm very excited. Okay, cool. And then another way of describing anointing is to be set apart. To be set apart. When God anoints something, he sets it apart. It's holy. It's for him. Okay. I don't know where the shofar is, but what they used to do in the old times when a king was being anointed, they used to take the horn, the shofar, okay, and they used to fill it with oil, and they used to pour it on his head. And he used to run down his head and cover him completely. He used to soak him. He used to run down his beard onto his garments. They did that for the kings and the high priests to set them apart for God's use. For God, they sit apart. Okay, do you get that? We understand what anointing is. Okay, so in the Old Testament, they even used to take the oil, okay, which was the anointing oil, and they used to cover everything. In the tabernacle, they would cover the tabernacle. They would cover every item that was to be used to worship God and the priests. Everything was covered with oil. Have you ever heard of someone say, wow, that preaching was filled with the anointing, or that worship was filled with the anointing? It was anointed worship. That's worship that is set apart. God's hand was on it. That's what anointing means, okay? So we're together with this. All right. Amen. So again, as I said, they used to take the oil and just smother everything. Everything was covered. And being Greek, growing up Greek, one day I will write a book called Growing Up Greek. But I understand this. My yaya had a fixation with oil. Okay, olive oil was the answer to everything. George will vouch for this. Okay, my yaya used olive oil on everything. She used it in her food, in her baking, her butter, oil. French would be shocked. She used oil on her face as moisturizer. She used it in her hair as conditioner. She used it in her car. She used it as polish for the furniture. If you went to yaya with any ailment, she would prescribe an olive oil. Okay, acne, olive oil. And it really does work. It's so scary. I'm not even kidding. Stones, olive oil. Okay, that's olive oil. So I understand this fixation, but these guys didn't just use any olive oil. These guys used a very specific oil. Okay, it was a recipe that God gave them very specifically. Okay, and you can find it in Exodus 30, 22 to 30. Did I give it to you? Can you have a look? No? Okay, I didn't give it to you. It's a long passage. I'm going to read it through very quickly. Okay, go and read it at home. Write it down. It's Exodus 30, 22 to 30. And this is a recipe for a sacred oil that God gave them to anoint the tabernacle. Okay, from 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. Okay, I'm not going to carry on reading the rest. You can read about it. Then he says to him, take this sacred oil and anoint everything. That's what he says to him. Okay. And guys, this oil, if you couldn't copy it or make it up as aromatherapy, add some coffee beans and sell it at the market, you know, as body scrub or anything like that. No ways. This is holy oil. Okay. It was actually, were put to death if you used it for anything else. Okay. That's how sacred it was. And so that's what I want to use today. This is the recipe I want to discuss with you. The anointing that destroys the yoke and the recipe for it. You guys amped? I am. Okay, so there's five ingredients that we're going to get from this oil. The first ingredient is called liquid myrrh. And I have a illustration for you on the presentation of what myrrh is. Myrrh was used, let me just get the details here. It was an expensive fragrant spice, and it was used in biblical times to embalm bodies before burial. Okay, and as you can see, it was a thorny sort of plant, which was cut, and then a liquid would ooze out of it, and as it would drip to the ground, it would crystallize, okay, and then it's collected in the crystal form and sold that way. So it was sold in a crystal form. But the secret to myrrh is that fragrance cannot be released if it is not completely crushed. You take it and you pound it, you crush it, and then the fragrance is released. Are you going? You see where I'm going with this? So our first ingredient for the anointing is death. It's, I know, brilliant, very, very uplifting, but bear with me. Okay, so the first ingredient is death. Myrrh speaks of death because without death of ourselves, death of our old character, there is no anointing. Amen. Do you know that? Okay. If we want God's anointing, we have to die to ourselves. We need to die to the old person. We need to die to any desires or dreams that are not of God. But you know what? Even the ones of God, we've got to be presented on that altar, just as Isaac was. You've got to take those dreams, those hopes, to the altar. And then, if you don't come willingly, okay, I know this, you don't want to be hearing this, but this is what we've got to hear. Sometimes when you don't come willingly to die to ourselves, the Lord allows crushing experiences, crushing circumstances to come into our lives to help us to die to ourselves. You see, God wants to anoint us. He wants to use us. That's what He made us for. He made us for His glory. But if we don't go willingly, sometimes He does it for us, and it's a blessing. And sometimes we do things ourselves to help us along. Yanni and I are doing a Daniel fast at the moment, and we're going for a 40-day, and I have not been very pleasant about it. I've moaned about my coffee and sugar so much. But it's pretty much what fasting is. Fasting is putting your physical appetites under your desire for God. It's putting it down and saying, you are not more important than my desire for God. It's allowing your flesh to die. So that's just one of the examples. So are you with me? And there's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful illustration in Matthew 26 where a woman, it's one of my absolute favorite stories, this woman comes to Jesus with that alabaster box. You know it. And inside is this precious, sweet fragrance. But for this fragrance to be used to anoint the head and the feet of Jesus, it must be broken. Do you remember that story? And you don't want to break it. But even the box itself looks so precious and it looks so beautiful. Because sometimes we hold so tightly to our control, don't we, of our lives. We hold so tightly to what we think is important for our lives. But God says, no, put it on the altar. Let me crush that. Let me give you something new, something anointed. And that's exciting. So unless the breaking in our lives, the fragrance of Christ will never be smelt. 1 Corinthians says that we hold this treasure, the glory of Christ, in earthenware vessels. That means a clay pot. It doesn't mean like a Ming vase. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the glory is for God. Our lives are to be no more. So we have to come to the place of brokenness. The second ingredient is sweet cinnamon. Cinnamon was used as a flavoring, and it was to give a very, very pleasant smell. And it was used in the tabernacle, mostly to cover the smell of the animals being sacrificed. Not a very pleasant thought, but it was effective. And cinnamon speaks of sweetness. If you want God to take your life and anoint it, okay, you've got to allow Him to put inside of you a gentle spirit, a sweetness, a graciousness. You know, we've all been forgiven of much, and yet we tend to be so harsh with others. We tend to be so quick to judge. He wants in us a sweet spirit. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." So easy to allow circumstances in life to make us bitter. We've all been hurt, but it's our job to, again, even put that hurt on the altar. Allow God to just destroy it. It's talking of the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to read about the fruit, it's Galatians 5:22-25. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." You guys still with me? Okay, and the third ingredient for the day is called sweet-smelling cane or calamus. Okay, the calamus plant grows like in bogs, in miry soil. You know, it's very boggy soil. And okay, so there it is. And it is very sweet-smelling. In old England, in those old English houses, they used to have smells, very bad smells of damp and everything, so they used to use the reeds on the ground to walk on. And as you walked on it, it released that sweet, sweet smell. Because you see, this amazing plant only releases that sweet, sweet smell when it is beaten. This is getting better, no? And that is how God's anointing is able to increase in your life the more you pass through the school of hard knocks. God is able to form your character. Yanni and I can't believe we took so long, but we had the absolute privilege of watching an amazing movie recently called Barudir. Have I said that wrong? Okay, I'm sorry. But it's an incredible, incredible movie. Can I just see a show of hands who hasn't seen it? Okay, most of you. We will definitely be having a viewing in the church. We're very excited about it. Our dear own Leonay played a very, very important role in this movie. She featured in it. She helped produce it. She helped market it. She did an amazing, amazing job. Guys, I cannot tell you how much this movie blessed us. It is made in so much love, and it is just so excellent, and I just pray God uses it in many, many ways. But the amazing thing about this movie is that firstly, it was made by a group of people with passion who just came together and went through a whole lot of hard knocks to make this movie happen. I'm sure that when they went in the one side, they didn't expect to come out on the other side the way they did. Okay. But the main character of this movie, his name's Francois, and he gets retrenched, his house gets taken, his car gets taken. So many things happen to him in his life. And at one stage, he actually cries out to God, and he says, "God, I can't take this anymore." He comes to a breaking point, and he says, "God, I cannot take this anymore." And God just turns his life around, but he comes to a breaking point. He comes to a place where he's been beaten, he's been broken, and he's finished. And he just surrenders everything. He makes this point of surrender. And God takes his life and turns it around. And that's what God's asking of us. God came in and he formed Francois' character. You can see that by the end of the movie, his relationship with his wife is better. His relationship with his brother is healed. And God has made him a better man. He's a better father. He's a better man. He's a better friend. God has formed his character. But he took those hard knocks and he used them. So, and I know there's a lot of people in this church who are getting knocked around right now. I know. You know, we talk to you guys all the time. And I know, we get it too, you know. But I want to just encourage you this morning, allow God to take those knocks and just form the man or woman that he wants you to be. Amen. Okay. So God is more interested in anointing character than great ability. Did you know that? Can you see how these ingredients just come together? One just... So the fourth ingredient is called cassia. You guys still with me this morning? Did you enjoy the nice weather, the winter's day we're having in the middle of summer? Isn't that just brilliant? Refreshing. So this spice grows only at an elevation of 2,400 meters. Look at it. It is so beautiful. You actually literally need to get to the high places to get this beautiful plant. Okay. Do you know where this is going? Didn't I put it there? I did. Okay. This is where you need to get to, the high places. You need to get to the quiet place, sitting on your father's lap. You need to get to that quiet room. Prayer, guys. Prayer. We cannot get the anointing without prayer. Jesus lived in the anointing of the Spirit. He maintained a close walk with the Father. He spent 40 days in the desert, fasting and praying and being tempted by the devil. You know that? 40 days of nothing. I'm eating fruit and veg and nuts and stuff. Jesus ate nothing for 40 days. Okay. Allowed his body. He was a man. Do you understand that he was a man? Do you think it was because he was God that he could do that? Because I can guarantee you he was a man. He left his glory and he came to the earth as a man. And then he endured 40 days of prayer and fasting. But look what it says in Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. That's when he was filled with the Holy Spirit's power. And then you see in 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives, that the captives will be released, and the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free." Amen. So don't stop pressing in, guys. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. And finally, so stay with me because you're getting there. Finally, the ingredient that brings it all together. You see, it wasn't just the spices. It wasn't just the myrrh, the liquid myrrh. It was a base that brings it all together. And yes, that base is olive oil. Yeah, I would be proud. But note something, that it's the mixture of the ingredients that makes it holy. It sets it apart. It was all the ingredients coming together in this olive oil. Can I just show? Okay, so olive oil has many uses, but in this case, it is the base. And in the Bible, olive oil is often symbolizing the Holy Spirit. If anything, it's always symbolizing the Holy Spirit. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead. You know, we serve a triune God. God is a person in three persons in one God. And he is the person that is most commonly associated with anointing. He's a principal character of the three persons of the Godhead, who's primarily to do with the work and the moving of the Holy Spirit. When God anoints, it's the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And I just want to show you something, but I haven't drunk enough water, and I just want to do this illustration. Okay, this glass is half full. Some would say half empty. The quickest way to fill this glass would be what? Someone said to empty it. That would be the quickest way to empty, throw out this water. The quickest way to fill it, I could put a suction on it. Couldn't I? and empty it of all the air. Not just the water. Think about emptying it of air. Okay, so say this glass was empty. That really would help. Say this glass was empty. Okay, and I wanted it emptied of air as well. How do I get air out of here? Suction. Suction would cause a vacuum and it would shatter the glass. Any other ideas? Fill it with water. That is the quickest way. Now I have to definitely drink this. Quickest way to get the air out of the glass. What I want to show you by that illustration is we so often walk around thinking, I have to empty my life of sin. I have to get perfect. I have to work. I have to do this and this and this. I just gave you a recipe of a whole bunch of things that sounded like work, but that's not. That's surrender. It's surrendering everything to the living God and then being filled with the Spirit. Do you understand that? You see, victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out sin here and there, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you turn with me to James 5:14. Okay, James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Guys, this morning, I know that you're sitting here and you've got burdens, you've got hurt, you've got bitterness. There's things that you're struggling with. Okay, but look what James says here. He says, if your soul is sick, if your heart is broken, he says, call the elders of the church. They will anoint you with oil. You'll be filled with the Spirit. Just going to give out the communion elements this morning. Breaking bread together is very powerful. The Bible says we must do it as often as we come together and remember what Jesus did for us. So as we do communion this morning together, as we break bread together, I'd like you just to take a moment to consider your life. The dreams, the pain, the hurt, the bitterness, the unforgiveness. Guys, today I'm urging you, do not walk out of this place the same way you walked in. It's my prayer for you today. It's not that you were entertained, not that you were, do not walk out of here the same way you walked in. Walk out with the freedom that Christ paid for with the blood on the cross. That is our inheritance. That is what we get for being children of God, freedom. Okay, and the anointing is here to set you free from every bondage. To walk around thinking you're nothing. To walk around thinking you are second grade or that you don't deserve better is a lie from the pit of hell. That is that yoke that the enemy is trying to put on your life. Guilt. Whatever you're going through, that is a lie. It's not what God has for your life. So today, I'm going to just ask you to reverence this moment. Please know that this is a holy place, guys. The Spirit of God is here. And you know what? It's not just a building with a bunch of people that get together. It's a holy place. And the Spirit of the living God is here to meet with you today. To take that burden from your shoulders. Bible says that his body was destroyed. It was broken for us. He took upon him every curse, every disease. And as we take that bread this morning, his body goes into yours. You receive healing. That glass represents his blood, which brings righteousness. You are made righteous in God's eyes. Do you know what that means? It means when you walk out this door after having this, it reminds you that you are perfect in the sight of God. You're his perfect child. After we've done communion, what I'd like to do is I'm going to call up the elders. And we've got anointing oil here. And we're going to anoint you. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit come and pour his living water into your life and free up everything that has tried to attach itself to your life. Holy Father God, we thank you that we can come in this place today to be reminded of what you did on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we are reminded that you have made a way for us, Lord. Just as the broken body of Christ, just as his life was given for us, Lord, we want to give our lives today. Lord, we thank you for this bread that we eat in the name of Jesus, Lord, to take in healing, to take in freedom. Thank you, we eat in Jesus' name. Lord, and we thank you that this represents your blood. We apply it, Lord. We thank you that it sets us apart, God. In Jesus' name, we drink. Guys, just I'd like you to just stay in an attitude of worship, please. Just bring your heart before God. Do business this morning. And I want to encourage you, if you are going through a hard time, you are not alone. The body is here. We are part of the same body of Jesus Christ that was broken. So please come up. Thank you. Guys, don't be ashamed. If there's something going on and you want anointing oil this morning, just come seeking from God. It's not us. We've just been in the position. It's just an office. You're not coming to see man. You're coming to receive an anointing from God. This is an altar. This is just a representation of an altar. It represents coming and bringing that stuff and just placing it on the altar. Okay. Thank you.